My mum was more interested in men and money than children, and she had an opportunity, and I didn't fit the bill. I was discarded at 11.
Welcome to Unexpected Turns with myself, Anne Dibben, currently sitting in the sun in Spain. Today we talk to Lisa, who sold a home and bought a camper van and is currently travelling around Spain with her family, four children, two adults, and two dogs, all in a camper van. What made her do it? And how's it going? Listen on to find out more.
Hello, I'm Lisa Dawson.
Hello there, Lisa. Thank you very much for coming here today.
You're welcome.
And we are very lucky, aren't we, to be in the sun in Spain.
Oh, very lovely weather.
Yeah, it was lovely to meet you sitting opposite in your motorhome and hear some of your story. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit, because you were telling me about the fact that you left home at 11. How did that come about?
My mum was more interested in men and money than children, and she had an opportunity, and I didn't fit the bill. So
Wow.
unfortunately, I was discarded at 11. But a cousin that was 10 years older than me took me in, and she did absolutely amazing. Shortly after, she got diagnosed with cancer, so it was quite a whirlwind.
Oh.
But I always felt part of the family and included, and pushed me to do my. I played basketball for the county, ice hockey for the county. I was very active, and she always pushed me to do better in myself.
So whereabouts was that then? If you
Nottinghamshire.
Oh, they've got an ice hockey team, because that's really unusual to play ice hockey.
Nottingham Panthers, brilliant team.
Wow. And so you lived with your cousin and you were made to feel part of the family. What happened to you then?
I met my husband through my elder brothers. It's
And
two.
were they still living at home, your elder brothers?
No. No, my eldest wasn't. He was roughly the same as me, pushed out that little bit earlier because he's a little bit older. But my second eldest brother has a traumatic brain injury, so he still lived at home.
Cool.
Yeah. He had an accident. He went out on his bike,
Motorbike.
push bike, crossing the central reservation. He was in the middle. He wasn't obstructing. A van just tossed him up in the air, and he landed the other side. He was
Cool.
very lucky to survive it. He was in hospital for a lot of months, and obviously the recovery took years because with traumatic brain injury, it's not an easy process.
No. And you're still in touch with your brothers?
No, just my eldest. He's like a dad to me, so he
Oh.
kind of takes me under his wing, tells me off, as they do.
How much older than you is he?
He's 3 years older, so
Sweet.
he was at school with my husband, so that's how we met. I used to pick on him.
You used to pick on your husband?
Yes, he used to take the mickey out of me for playing basketball and ice hockey, and dabbled in rugby for a little while. And I was a very tiny, frail little girl, but I was like a whippet, I could go.
Wow.
And then we got together and got married on my 18th birthday.
And you've been together ever since.
Yep, we've just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary in October.
Gosh. And you're here in the camper van with four children and two dogs.
Two now, yes, because we've just rescued one in Spain. Her name's Poochie. She's 1 year old and she's just adorable.
And how did that come about? So you got married at 18.
Yeah, so we got married at 18 and we decided to buy a house instead of chucking money away.
On a wedding, you mean?
Yes, a
Yeah,
quick wedding and
yeah,
not chucking money away on rent. We decided to buy the house. I actually put the offer in before Dan knew anything about it.
yeah. You seem pretty determined to get what you want.
And I know what I want, and it just takes him that little bit longer to come round. But he absolutely loved the house when I took him to go and see
Good.
it. Beautiful. We lived there for 15 years before we decided to sell up. So
So
that's
you'd
why.
had your children by then.
Yes, we had. We was told we couldn't have children. I kept miscarrying. I had 16 miscarriages and an ectopic. I had a very late one just before my eldest, 7
Gosh.
months. which was quite hard. We was going through for adoption. But every time I got pregnant again, you have to restart the process again. But luckily I managed to carry my eldest full term with a lot of help from the hospital in a 7 month stay.
That's lovely to hear.
It don't give up, just keep trying. It's the only way to go, isn't it? Just keep trying, it'll finally come if it's meant to be.
Well, it's very interesting. The motto from the last guest we had was, there's always hope, he said. He was talking about something different.
Yeah, well, the hospital said I wouldn't be able to carry full term. I had test after test. We even paid private to get things pushed through. And it just happened by sheer luck, I suppose. And a few years break, and then the other three just came one after another. That's a funny story, actually. My husband ran off from having the vasectomy 3 times. So along came Rylan, who's 11 today, his birthday.
Yeah.
So we often have a little laugh, and obviously the kids don't know. But I wouldn't have changed it for the world. I honestly wouldn't. Apart from having to pay private for his vasectomy because they wouldn't do it again because he ran off.
Because he'd run off 3 times.
3 times, yes.
But he's done it now.
He's done it now, and it wasn't as bad as he thought.
Wow. And so you lived there 15 years in your house that you bought. What made you sell up?
Mother came back on the scene. She'd never really been there.
She'd never been in touch.
No, yeah. She just decided she wanted to, and very overpowering, and it just wasn't nice because we had our set routine, and we was also going through some hard medical issues at the time through myself, and my second eldest has swelling on the brain, IIH. Mm. And he's visually impaired, and he has reversed optic nerves. So it's very rare, and they don't understand what's caused it. So just the stress of her coming, we decided we'll sell up and move to Cornwall. But that didn't go to plan.
Because this was in COVID times when everybody wanted to move to Cornwall, didn't they?
Yes, January 21, when the house was sold. It went up and sold within a week in between Christmas and New Year's. It took 10 months to complete on our house sale because of COVID. So it obviously was messing up with everything. And you couldn't travel to go down looking at houses as well. Yeah. And you thought you finally got one. But then right at the end, somebody else offers more money and you're back at square one again. And we was literally about a month thinking, wow, we're going to be homeless if we don't hurry up and find something. And I've always had classic campers, my little Volkswagens, never at home, always away in them. Decided, why not travel for a little while? So, hence the new van, because Dan likes new ones.
So you bought that at the end of 2021, and that actually must have been a pain to buy, because nobody could get hold of camper vans.
We was, especially being such a big family as well, with 4 children, we really was going up and down the country weekly, looking at several motorhomes. We needed the layout. We needed at least 6 seatbelts. We actually went to look at another one in Preston, and it was awful. And I spotted that at the corner of my eye that wasn't up for sale yet. So I bought it.
Was Dan there, or did you buy that before he knew again?
He kind of walked over when I was initiating it, but the guy didn't have a clue what price in mind he wanted, so I kind of badgered him, and I got a great price, so I had to put a deposit there and then. And we really did get it for a steal, to be fair. We paid $49,000, and it retails at least $60,000.
But it's a decision you made. And I mean, how do you feel about that decision that you made, that you decided you'd had lots and lots of things go on in your life, lots of trauma with your children, with all sorts. How do you feel now that you've decided, actually, we're going to travel and we're in this camper van?
It's the best decision we've ever made. I jump in. I think about it, but I think about it very quick, like pros and cons. And I'm in straight away. Yeah, best decision we ever made. It's been amazing. We've spent a lot of time in the first year down Cornwall, and there's some amazing sites, some amazing people. But then we found ourselves that we prefer Stratford upon Avon, which seems to be where we like to spend most of our time when we're not obviously wintering over here for the weather. Follow the sunshine.
Is that what you do? So you spend the summer in the UK and the winter... Well, it's not been that long, really, is it? We're only talking about 3 years. And the...
Winter in Spain. Yeah, we did come over last year. We came over on the 2nd of December, but unfortunately got cut very short. My niece passed away at Christmas. So I had to fly home and leave everybody here.
So she was like a sister to you then, if you were living with your cousin?
Yeah, my eldest brother's only child.
She right.
looks exactly like my youngest son. She was 7, a week shy of her 8th birthday. She caught strep A and sepsis.
Gosh.
And unfortunately, it's very progressive, very quick. There was no coming back.
How do you cope with that?
Not very good, to be fair. It's especially with just having, it's been a year anniversary. We've just had the inquest before we left. This is why we left later this year for the inquest. It's hard because my youngest, they're best friends. So that's why he doesn't want to celebrate his birthday. He just wants a quiet day sort of thing. Just in her memory, which is hard, but it's his decision.
Yeah. You're obviously really close, all of you, not just, you know, the 6 of you together, but with your older brother and your cousin still that you went to live with?
Yes.
So do you all draw together as a family and help support each
other?
It's
the only family we've got. So, yeah, we're very tight, small, but it works and there's no arguments in the family because there's not too many of us.
No, and Dan's very much part of that, even before he was married, because he was best friends with...
With my brother, yes. I sometimes have to remind my brother that he's my brother and not his, because he'll like gang up with my husband and it's like, no, I'm your only sister, remember? I have to give him a nudge. But they get on really well. Dan's been a great help. My brother obviously hasn't coped well this year.
No.
His partner is only just... starting to get some normality, but she's been up, down, and my brother's been going off the rails, not going out to get drunk and not really talking. So Dan's been taking him to watch football and driving
good.
Hours for a favourite kebab that they like, just boy time off on their own, which I think's really helped a lot.
Because you need that, don't you? You need that support network, even if... It's just one person that can make a difference.
Yeah, I'm the talker and Dan sits back quiet, which I think my brother prefers sometimes, just to relax and just get through the day, really. But they get on love. It is really nice to see. We go to festivals together.
What sort of festivals do you like, then?
Well, we're both into classic, so it's mainly Volkswagen-related or classic-related, so Camper Jam. He likes his Download, which I think that's a bit loud for me. Not into that. And Beer and Sausage Festival. My brother loves that one.
Cool. I mean, it's lots and lots of things you do. So how does your brother cope when you're here in Spain? Because you're here for 4 months, aren't you?
3 months, yes.
3 months.
Really well. He always rings when he's in the mood. Likes to wind me up. Like ringing about the dog, the new dog we've just rescued. He needed to know every ins and outs, so tried to ask me the breed. It's like even the rescuers don't know that. She's a rescue dog.
It's good, isn't it, that we can keep in touch now. You know, when I was little, you know, there was no means of keeping in touch.
No.
But, you know, you can do that now, which is good. And even FaceTime, you know, FaceTime
and WhatsApps. And see, we didn't have the internet growing up, not like the kids today. So we had a phone box outside my house when I was younger.
Yeah, and that was it. That was the lifeline. Whereas your children, they're doing all their school projects. They're even working through the Christmas holiday on their school projects, aren't they?
Yeah, they're working online all the time and designing stuff for the 3D printer. They're always doing something. People say, how do you afford to keep up with their hobbies? But their hobbies themselves can also earn them a little spending money. So it works. And they have a lot of choice in what they are learning because they've done the schoolwork and they have a lot of free time. So they pick up extra activities.
So do you think that's advantageous for them that they are not in school, because there's lots in the paper just today about we need to get children back in school. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think it's...
I think it's definitely more beneficial for them not to be if you're in a position to give them the time that they need.
Yeah.
Because 45, 50 children in a class is just not acceptable. Like I've said, my second eldest has his own problems. He's visually impaired. He's also autistic. He has an extra Y chromosome.
Right.
Which they found out when they was doing all the medical tests. And he really struggled with school. He was 3 years behind. I worked at the school at the time. I had to get a different job because it was getting a little bit too much.
Too intense, yes. Yeah.
So that's the whole reason why they're out of school, is I took him out first because the school was failing him. He's 13.
He's 13 now, so you took him out when he was 10.
Yes, I took him out when he was 10 with the help of the local authority because they was failing him. They got offered grants for his visual impairness, turned down, got offered EHCP with extra additional help to be in, turned it down.
You mean he didn't get his EHCP?
No, he did.
Oh, he did. I was going to say, I thought he'd got his EHCP.
Yes, but the school just, it was in between the school turning to an academy. So everything was quashed down. And with the help from the local authority and his consultants, they gave me a bit of a nudge that I needed. And I took him out. And within 6 months, he caught up from being 3 years behind.
So... you've got funding for him that you personally hold that?
No, I don't get no fund. We don't take anything because he's not in school. I didn't need to keep up with his EHCP. So we fund everything.
Okay.
It's right. Not, I don't want to be tied down and I don't want to take money from a pot that's very small as it is when we can fund him ourselves. I just believe that it's an experience the kids need to see so that they can help themselves in later life as well.
So there's all advantages as far as you're concerned, and not just for him, but what would you say are the advantages for your other three children?
I didn't take them out straight away, but it became very noticeable that it was something that really needed to be done. My eldest has Tourette's and he was just started secondary school.
Mm.
Very clever boy. But very nervous, and his Tourette's is quite visible.
Right.
Especially with him being taller than his dad, and when he is ticking, his arms are going out and he's catching people. And kids aren't very nice. They find it funny. So they tried to wind him up to make his tics worse. So I just sat and asked him one evening, would you like to homeschool as well? And he was like, yes. And then the other kids came jumping in, and I said, right, we'll give it a go. And it honestly has been the best decision we've ever made. They have private tutors as well online.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have friends that are teachers. So if I do come across anything, it's only a message or phone call away. And advice is just there ready. It's honestly, it works great.
It sounds really good. I mean, they're clearly very happy from, you know, what I've seen. And you were very happy with the decisions you've made. What about long term? I mean, can you see them ever going back into education long term, or would it still be online? I know you've got lots of online colleges and everything as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's their decision when they get older. My oldest was offered a place at Oxford University. He's 16. Very bright. He's always been very clever.
So he was offered that now?
Yes.
To go early?
And right. He's chose not to.
Okay.
Because of he will have to go himself, and it's a big it doesn't want to, so as yet it's on the back burner, but the option's there.
Because they'll hold that place for him, won't they?
Yes. There's even a college in Bodmin in Cornwall that offered him a place. They only have 5 home ed teenagers around his age per class per when they go. Which I thought might be a better setting for him. And they said we can actually go with him just for the initial to get him introduced and then step away. In the meantime, he's doing project like fan building and camping pods.
Yeah.
He's done plumbing, electricals. He's even drove these new fancy tractors. We've got a friend with a lovely farm in Stratford-upon-Avon. And the tractor just has so many buttons on it, and he loves it. he's figured out how to work everything. You're just intrigued by it.
Yeah, so when we go self-motivated to learn.
Yes, when we go back to Stratford, he's actually going to do some work experience. And they've said he can pick from which side of things that he wants to look into more. They also run holiday lets and a B&B. So he's going to get, across the board.
I mean, that sounds really ideal. He's got lots of opportunities outside of the online learning and practical opportunities as well as academic if he wants to.
And he's still getting the social side of things, which is a big taboo. People, how do you socialise? My kids, they socialise with all different cultures, especially coming over here and learning about their cultures, beliefs and traditions. And the history alone is just amazing.
It is, isn't it? Well, I didn't even know that Christmas Day was celebrated yesterday. I didn't know it was such a huge thing.
Yeah.
And today, you know, we've had, I don't know how good your dogs have been with all those gunfires and fireworks going off today, but
it did really well, to be fair. It scared me at first when I heard it. I'm thinking, what's that?
So they've got everything. I mean, is it something that you say you're now here for the winter, is it something that you can see yourself doing for the next 5 years?
And the rest, definitely.
And the rest.
We're actually looking into buying land. We originally thought France, but I prefer Spain. I need the weather for myself. So Spain seems a better option, maybe next year or hopefully by the year after. It's something we've already done. Not take me long.
No, I was going to say, you move into these things quickly. Oh, you seem to have done lots and lots and lots of things, and you haven't had it easy. I mean, you've glossed over that. You haven't had it easy. What would you say are some of the hardest things that you've had to deal with?
Just other people's perception on life. You're not conforming. That was probably the hardest thing at first. But now everyone's like, oh, when you go to Spain next winter, we're going to come on a holiday with you for a few weeks. Everyone's loving it. We've actually got a friend who's actually considering doing the same thing now. So obviously doing something that drastic is very scary. But to us, it's been amazing. We've loved every single step of the journey.
Wow. What advice would you give to somebody like your friend or somebody that you didn't know that, well, wants to change their lifestyle completely?
You don't know how long life is. That certainly has put things into perspective this last year. Just do it. What's the worst that could happen? You could always go back to another house. Go and enjoy yourself while you're young enough and able enough to. It's been an amazing experience, and I'm so glad that we did it. Just wish we'd have done it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, but do you feel, had you done it that bit earlier, you might not have been ready to embrace it?
Yeah, possibly, because of the kids were still in school and certain health issues popping up, I think it would have been a bit too much. But when the time did come, and it was the perfect time for us, everything just fell into place, really. Just perfect.
It does seem perfect. And you must be very proud of everything you've achieved, you know, bringing up four beautiful children and just making such a good go of it.
Yeah, the children are really happy, and they're not growing up like kids in school. They are so laid back. They're not competing with anybody. There's no fighting all the time. They have the moments, as siblings do, but they absolutely love it. There's something different all the time to do. Just keeps them entertained, and they have a choice in what we do, so they do get to make decisions with us, because they're old enough, aren't they?
Yeah. It's interesting that you talk about your children making decisions and being old enough. Do you think the fact that you and your upbringing with your mum has had a huge impact?
Definitely. I didn't really get much choice in what I was doing. I felt quite lucky, to be fair, to be placed with family that she did take me in as her own, and that I met Dan so young. Got a lot of criticism. In fact, she actually turned up at the register office when we was booking our dates. I wanted to get married the March after my 18th birthday. She was, no, no, no. So the registrar said, well, how about your 18th birthday? I'll sign off. Your mother doesn't need to. That was a great day.
The registrar actually said that.
Yes. It was really funny, but it put her in a place, which...
Gosh.
But because I was under 18 booking the wedding, obviously we needed consent, but we wasn't getting it. But we've managed to last more than all of her marriages put together.
Yeah. So she's been married more than
Seven times. Yeah.
So you do keep in touch with her, but at a distance.
I don't anymore. It was just, I felt obliged to. And so she'd come and go as and when she wasn't busy or with a new husband. never lasted long.
Do you think that's made you and Dan's partnership stronger? Because you've clearly got a very strong partnership.
Yes, it's a matter of just trust, and you've both got to work together, which we do. I am the quick one. He's the sit back and think. It works great. We're very traditional. We believe in you work hard. You don't just try it and give up. It's something you should always work at. Because marriage is dying out nowadays, isn't it?
It is. Well, you clearly work very hard at it, and you've got a lot that you do. Is there anything else that you think I should have asked you that I haven't asked you? Anything else you would like to say? Any message you would like to get across?
One thing about doing this way of life, I do believe it's important to have a backup, whether you've got enough savings as a backup or another vehicle or a caravan. So we do have a caravan in Stratford as well as a camping pod, just as backup, so we don't need to rely on anybody else if you break down, because it is a motor on wheels, isn't it? It happens. We've been fortunate enough, touch wood, that we've not come across anything like that, but just in case.
And you've got that on a plot of land at home, haven't you?
Yes, that's in storage near my favourite site, so that can always come out in an emergency, and we've got a friend that has got the keys, so if anything he can just come and meet us. I do believe backup is very important. You've got to think of any possibility that can come up, because it can. We had our motorhome in for a leak repair, which you don't expect on new motorhomes.
Yeah.
And they had it nearly 5 weeks.
So what did you do then? That's when you were in there?
We bought the caravan.
Right.
I mean, it was nice having the extra room because it's a big one. The kids was loving the extra room, but I was glad to get my motorhome back.
Yeah, it sounds ideal that you've got that range of things. And you've also got the camper van pod, did you call it?
Yes, camping pod, which the kids made this year as part of a project. They did the plumbing and the electrics and everything for it with Dad. So they've all been hands-on.
They're going to be very self-sufficient adults.
And upholstery as well. They did the upholstery with us. They do learn a little bit of everything. But it's nice because at school now they don't teach you to be hands-on, and I believe it's a very good life skill to at least learn as you go through life, because anything could happen and you could always turn your hand to it. Same as YouTube, it's been a great learning experience for the kids, looking up different things and seeing what troubles people's had, and if they can figure a way out of it, they're forever creating themselves more work.
It's good that they're interested in doing that, and they all get on well with each other as well, don't they?
Yes, and they help each other with the work as well. So you've always got one putting an opinion in, and then they'll come over and they'll get quite into it.
And do they, you said they were best friends with, unfortunately, your niece. Do they have other friends that they keep in touch with?
Yes, we have a good friend that we share the allotment with, and they have children around the same age. So we are always meeting up and going on holiday, and even just driving up for the day from Stratford to go out for the day, or go on the allotment and go out for a meal. So they do keep close contact with the friends, but also make new friends on the go as well.
Yeah, because that is one of the criticisms, isn't it, of people being out of school, and particularly in COVID, that's one of the things, children lost the ability to socialise.
Yeah.
And it's raised anxieties.
Well, whilst we're actually here, in fact I had another message today. There's a worldwide traveling group for home ed children, and there's 5 families now we'll be meeting up with very soon, in Mercia and wherever. I forgot the other place we're going to next.
No.
So we're meeting up with some that's got children young, like my youngest 3, and the one that's messaged today has children my eldest age. So They're forever meeting new people, even just travelling around Spain. English people are coming over, or there's an American family that's travelling at the moment. So the opportunity to meet new people just comes up all the time. It's amazing.
It is fascinating, and they are lucky to have that broad group. And as you say, without the internet, you wouldn't have known that group of people was out there.
Exactly. So it's just things you come across, and then you share the knowledge with other people, and it just helps everybody out. A lot of people say, how do you get on with the internet situation? Hence the Starlink. That's been an absolute godsend, especially for learning.
Yeah.
So we're mainly in remote areas, and the signal's great. The kids can just carry on all the time.
Because your husband works as well, doesn't he, from the van? And you couldn't do that without really good Wi-Fi.
No, yes. We struggled last year when we came, because you can only get SIM cards with 80 gig or 100 gig, and that went in a day.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was quite funny. So we came prepared this year. I came with a cupboard full of baked beans. That's one thing I can't go without. And the Starlink internet.
I was going to ask you, was there anything about England you particularly miss? It's just the baked beans.
Baked beans and stuffing, but I have a cupboard full.
Of those two.
Yes, I tried to bring some back with me last year when I flew back after Manny's had passed. And they took my baked beans off me at the airport. And my brown sauce, I about cried.
Gosh. Weird things that they don't let you through. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
It's fascinating listening to your story, and I can't believe how upbeat you are about everything. If you were going to give advice to anybody who's had to come through something difficult, you said earlier, you know, never give up hope. Is there anything they could do to help them get through those difficult times? I know giving up hope is one thing.
The trouble is, when you are having a difficult time, you tend to pull yourself inwards and close yourself off, and the key to helping get through that is to open up. As horrible as it sounds, you've really just got to push yourself and just give yourself the opportunity to move forward and do better and bigger things for yourself. I was really bad at closing myself off, and I realised, especially last year, that it isn't a good thing for you. So I push myself forward now, and it does help a lot. You've just got to keep motivating yourself, because no one else can give you that motivation if you're not ready. You've got to make that first step.
So how do you do that if you're closed off? How do you get that motivation?
For me personally, I sat down and did pros and cons of, you know, I'm not happy in this situation. What's not working? I realised I was stopping myself from doing what I needed to do to keep myself happy and keep going, which in turn can have a knock-on effect for people around you. You've just got to be willing to try something new. I took up crocheting.
Yes, I've seen you do that.
So that's a way to keep me calm, and no matter where I sit, someone will always come up, oh, hello, and you get talking about it. Just any sort of hobby, just put yourself out there and try to just keep doing it. Just push yourself daily.
Keep pushing yourself.
Yep, it's the only way really, isn't it?
It is. Well, thank you very much, Lisa, for talking to me and taking up your time. And I hope you have a really good rest of the time in the rest of Spain.
Oh, yes, definitely. Following the sun.
Following the sun. I like it. Thank you.
Huge thanks to Lisa for speaking to us on her son's birthday. As she says, birthdays and anniversaries bring mixed emotions. Thank you again to Lisa and to you, our listeners. Until next time, when we meet Clive, who went from being a millionaire to homeless and having to build his business and life back up again. Till then, take care.